Accession number 31409, Real 4.
Sub-lieutenant out in the front, and it was getting a bit nasty, and he kept on saying, right, pick out the ringleaders and whatnot, and all of a sudden there was one of my friends, he noticed that there was a bloke with a big bag, and he threw it at the sub-lieutenant. It burst on his sword and covered him in bloody orange, all rotten old stuff, and he started laughing. Yeah. And this chap was well known on our decks. He was always, when he started laughing, everybody could laugh with him, you know, but he started laughing, and we started with him as well, although we were manning things, yes, like that. Yes. And eventually, and the sub-lieutenant said, keep it up, yeah. One, and he running down this, keep it up, go
and that
on.
That seemed to eat attention.
Everybody, it stopped what could have been a nasty
incident.
Situation.
Yes, yes.
But normally, the sailors were not, only the blokes who knew how to. Like myself, I was a torpedoman, yes. So I didn't. I got electrical jobs ashore on that.
Yes.
But they did take trains up to the stokers, you see,
yes.
Up to various parts of Palestine.
So you enjoyed your time on this particular ship then? Yes.
Yes, until I got to. Till then, on that the date it starts, when in 1936,
yes,
we were then transferred. We'd been back to Malta, by the way, and
yes.
So on like that. But we're then over, and we had to go to about four ports,
yes.
On the Mediterranean side, picking up. Our nationals,
yes.
And we picked up some nuns as well, you know,
yes.
And
so sort of errands of mercy in those days, yes.
And just to put things right, what we couldn't understand, we were supporting the crown, as it were.
Yes, yes.
And
the government.
Yes, the government, and the insurgents.
Yes.
Were what's his name?
So you were there to defend the crown's property and
the government.
And the insurgents were supporting, at the time, was it General Franco?
Yes, General Franco.
So that was then the start of the Spanish Civil War, is that right?
Yeah.
Which must have been in 1936.
The king and queen had gone, flown, hadn't they?
Yes, well, abdicated, had they?
She was an English princess, wasn't she?
Yes, yes.
But we went and called at every
port, yes.
Picking up somebody and
was that British British citizens?
Yes, they had to, and we got appointed to us was a captain. We've got the captain. He was an army captain.
Yes.
And he had in civil life, he had a big place in Barcelona where he had an English teaching.
Yes.
But he came on board to get people out of the country, providing one of them, either the male or the female, was on British
citizenship.
Yes. And it was on one of these occasions that I'd seen some nuns stripped, you know, and it was a rotten bloody thing altogether.
Yeah.
And the young people were shot and so on. Anyway, there was one deformed hunchback who kept on demanding you can't take that watch, with you, you've got to give it to me, I'm government, you know, and so on, and have you no money, you're not allowed to take pesetos.
So they were abusing them.
Yeah, and with one of the couples, they threatened to hit this woman across her stomach, and she was pretty near in birth, you know. And her husband was a young Englishman, a doctor, and he's trying his best to defend her. But this, though, I thought he'd hit him. He hit her, rather. And so I'm not a big bloke, and he was just my size, you see, but I whopped him and he went backwards and he went into the drink.
All right.
Now, I was coxswain of the boat.
Yes.
So I called out, I said to the two people, and there was one behind the engine, go back to the ship and tell him what's happened.
And so when you hit him, he went over the side into
the water, and I told him when get him out.
Yes,
you see, I realised that
it could have consequences.
It could be, it could have drowned. I didn't know him, but anyway, they got back, but I got pushed about and I was clued up in a cell, a wine cell.
Yes.
Where I was in there for about 5 days, which no lights, no nothing, and all I got was many on your senior, and spits and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was the government side that we were supporting.
Yes.
And eventually, anyway, they got to the ship, had gone to Gibraltar. And I understand that they gave them some ammunition or something like that to get me out of it.
Yeah.
And
So my understanding was that whilst the ship was away, you were on the jetty, and there was this
fracas,
you knocked this man in the water, and you were then arrested and put in a makeshift prison.
Yeah, well, it was a wine cellar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And were they going to charge you with something or other? Or?
I don't know. Nobody said anything.
Yes.
They didn't, I suppose, really. And, well, I was in uniform.
Yeah. Are you still in uniform?
Yeah.
And did they punish you or beat you?
No, they didn't. Well, I mean, I was roughly
treated.
Pushed along and kicked.
Yes.
And
you must have been very pleased when the ship, the Antony, came back into port again.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And they found out about
I was up before the captain, and I hadn't long been a leading seaman. I was acting leading seaman actually, and I thought, I'll finish with that, you know. They called me to the table and they said, right, salute. I thought, no off cap, you know. He said, see what a bloody idiot you was, you know.
Yeah.
You're not there, he said, to solve really things on your own, you know.
Yeah.
You were there as the coxswain of that boat, he said, and the boat's crew, we said, and there was, you could take 37, but we only got 30, come back to the ship, but you're not there for that. Your duty was to keep the ship.
So he admonished you rather than being on a defaulter.
Yeah, he said, you know, I thought the next thing he's going to say, well, you're not fit to be a leading hand. He did say, you know, when you're in charge, you're in charge, and you don't, you're still going to give me. Yeah. And he said, on caps and about turn and walk away. And,
so that must have been a very tense period for you, being locked up for 5 days, wondering whether you were going to live through this.
It was, yeah.
Yes. So you were pleased to get back on board, I guess, and get back to your duties.
Yeah, well, what happened was there was a civilian stood behind the captain.
Yes.
And he said, when they called me back to the front, the captain said, right, Craggs, I'm pleased to say it, but you know what's happened, and you know the consequences that could have happened.
Yes.
And he said, but I'm pleased I've got a man on board. I'd like to introduce you to Captain Keenan, he said, who said, because you have had the experience, he'd like to take you to go as this. You can drive, and I said, "Yeah, I only just got my lessons, but you could drive." If when we went to Toledo, in the middle
of, went as a sort of his coxswain, really. Was that right?
Well, I went as his
driver,
offsider, whatever. But what happened was that when he used to go down and in. Interview and get. I've got pictures of these people who have been shot, taken out and shot. You know.
Yes.
He'd get them off and in some way or other if they could prove that they were a bit. But that's what we were doing.
Yes.
And
so that was a. Well, it was certainly a bloody revolution, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And from our side, too, we at one place, we had to take a heap of Scots bloke, first aid men, And they said, it's not us that's been, ravaging people, But later on, somebody said, "What's the? I've got a bottle of this here. Are they duped on this? But they were the throwouts of really Glasgow, I should think.
Yes.
These blokes, they'd been recruited as
mercenaries, I guess, was it?
Yeah, to help, help them. But they were pinching watches off bodies and. Doing all that.
Yeah. But so they were paid mercenaries, yes?
Yeah.
So after that, I suppose the Anthony left that area, and what happened?
The Americans that we went up. We used to take the. It's interesting that the wardroom was changed into. The collapse of tables, or put the table on the side and whatnot, and they put people, a man, a woman, and the feet of the head, and they put ropes over the top of them. Then any babies, some of the matlows took the babies in their arms and lashed them, they put a rope between the what do you call a dead eye? They drop down. They were in the wardroom.
Oh, I see, yes.
And they secured themselves to the porthole.
Yes, oh, I see.
They had
The dead eye.
Up top. there in the galley, they were making Glaxo up into food for the babies.
Baby, bottle food, yes.
And every, you know, another sea had come over, and they never quiet into that part of the world.
So the sailors had the babies,
yes,
to their chest, yeah, lashed to their chest, and, yeah, lashed to the bulkhead, and, because the sea was so rough.
Yeah, and I was a leading seaman in charge of the sailors.
Right, okay. See,
and I was, and all these, defend me, but he wanted help. Yes. I'd go
and
out.
All these refugees were laid out in
like
the wardroom.
If you're seasick, you're seasick.
And you were taking them to where then?
We're taking them to southern France.
Right, okay.
Okay, it's well known.
Yes. Not Nice or that way at all?
No. Port, it was.
Yes.
It's.
Yeah. So you were repatriating them from the shores of Spain.
Well, they had a baby born on board. You see that?
Yes.
They said that the name would be Anthony.
Right, because after the ship.
After the ship.
Yeah, very interesting. So you repatriated these people to the south of France. Then where did you go then? Where did the ship go after that?
Well, we're quite a few months on this job.
Going backwards and forwards?
I think we went back to Malta.
Yes.
And came back home because it was 1937 then.
So 1937, did you sell the ship back home?
Did we?
Did you sell the ship back home? Did you come back with the Anthony to the UK?
Yeah.
And you decommissioned?
Yeah.
And I suppose you went on leave then, did you, for a while?
Yes, yes.
That was in 1937.
Yeah.
What was your next posting?
I had to stand by the Sheffield, HMS Sheffield.
The cruiser Sheffield.
Cruiser Sheffield.
Yes. And that was what, in Portsmouth?
No, up in Newcastle.
Right. She was a newly built ship in those days, was she?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and about her, most of the people who built her, they came to the ship and they could recognise their parts that they'd put in.
Right.
And she differed from any of the other ships.
Cruisers
that... rivets were all smoothed off.
Oh, right.
So Belfast, they've got the wrong one. Because if they had, and she had no brass on board, no brass, no cleaning.
Steel. So that's why she was called the Shiny Sheffield. Is that the
Shiny Sheff?
Yeah.
And they had when they manned her, they took the they're all. From the depot, they'd been in the tug of war team of the previous year, and the football team of the, and we had the colours of the Sheffield and the colours of the, in fact, the captain. We went to Sheffield from, we were in port somewhere near just north of Hull.
Yes,
forget where it was.
And so. How long was you on the Sheffield, Rocky?
About this time I got made acting petty officer.
Right. When you joined the Sheffield?
Yeah. And from there I qualified to lead in... I had to go back into Vernon and...
So you did some more torpedo courses, is that right?
Yeah, torpedo and electrical courses.
So then on to the Sheffield as an acting petty officer?
No, I didn't go back. I was made acting petty officer.
On the Sheffield?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And what were your duties on the Sheffield?
I was the first person to ring this bell, and that same bell is in the... Sheffield. Now it was the
Cutler's Hall in Sheffield.
Sorry.
So this famous Ballad of the Sheffield, you were the first person ever to ring it. And so where is this bell now?
It's in Sheffield itself, in the...
I understand it was put in the cathedral, was it?
That's right, yes, it's right. In the cathedral.
All right, yeah. Right. So your duties on board really were...
I was in charge of watchkeeping, and yes. I wasn't there very long, but I also used to... I was a leading torpedoman then, right. And I used to drive the cranes and pick up the big boat cranes, I forget what they're called.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. The davits and picking up the sea boats. And,
so I got, I could guess what was coming. I could pick them up in very rough weather. It didn't matter, you know.
Yeah. And how long were you on board the Sheffield?
I don't know, without I could look at the papers.
Were you there a full commission?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, so it must have been about 1938 now, I suppose, was it?
Yes, it was getting on.
Yeah.
I was recalled, I think, to go and have a non-substantive
rate.
Right.
So promoted to petty officer, then, or acting petty officer?
I was a petty officer, but I'm a petty officer torpedo gunner's mate. That's what I would be if I passed.
So, when the war broke out, what ship were you on then? Can you remember?
At that time, I was in... first of all, I was in... I can't remember the
Barracks, Royal Naval Barracks?
Royal Naval Barracks, Chatham.
Sheerness. Yes.
And
so that was when the war broke out. That was the first year. What was your thoughts? What was your reactions when you heard that the war had actually broken out?
Well, I just got married. I was married 3 days before.
All right. So where did you meet your wife?
I met her through a friend of mine. I was playing rugby for the Noah Command.
Yes.
We used to play against Bedford.
Yes.
In those days. Twice I played against Bedford, 2 years in succession. It was my mother-in-law sort of pushed it, but I was due to go to China, I think, but because I'd by that time I'd started officer promotion.
Yes.
I'd done quite a few tests and whatnot.
Yeah, you
and started
were...
off, yeah. And half of the class were carried on, and the other half was sent to, you know, where we're ever going. And I was then, I was in Chatham Barracks, and about as war broke out, I think just before, the day or two before, I was sent down to Sheerness, I went on the. I had a coxswain of a boat, and we were on the shallow water recovery. What happened was at the beginning of the war, the Dorniers used to come over and drop shallow. Mines, but magnetic mines, so it could be you had to have them in shallow water, because they operated by a ship going over the top, give them two polarities, and they'd come up and hit it right underneath, and they had a quite a success for a month or so. But they didn't get the success that they thought they
were going to get. Yeah.
But
so, your where did your wife come from? Where did she live?
She was in London. Yeah,
she was a London girl.
But she was in Sheerness.
Oh, I see. She was working in Sheerness,
No. She used to go up to London to her mother's.
So were you married in Sheerness or?
No, I was married in London.
Right, okay.
The big place opposite the cricket ground.
The Oval.
Oh, right, okay.
St. Mark's.
Yes.
Vicar. Yeah. And also, what's that? Clever in there.
Braille.
Getting nudges.
So you were married. The war was just about to break.
Yeah, and we were married on the 28th of July, September.
Yeah, of 1939.
Yeah.
Yes. And then did you move down to did you move your new bride down to Sheerness?
No.
She stayed in London.
She stayed. We had a flat underneath some place in Chatham.
Yes. Okay. Right. So she came down to Chatham. You were in barracks, and where were you drafted to next, Rocky?
Sheerness. No, I wasn't drafted anywhere. I used to go from my home,
yes,
down to Sheerness,
yes,
pick up my boat,
yes,
and go out. And I used to do 3 days on,
right,
and 2 days or 1 day off, or yes, 2 days.
Sometimes. And what did that work entail? What were you doing with the boat?
Well, we were at night. We watched the Dorniers go over,
yes, yes,
and when they dropped
the mines,
yes, we then went over and put a buoy there.
Oh, I see.
Because there's about half hour before the plug dissolves.
Yeah.
And then it releases the thing to go down, the sinker to go down, right, and it's then a proper mine. But if we got that and we got it back to our... there was two officers, Lieutenant Commander Lewis and another one who were in charge, and a Chief Petty Officer.
Yes. That must have been very dangerous work.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, you
but that part of it, you see, but if you could get it, once a mine is, it couldn't go down.
Yeah, right.
In other words, we've got it and towed it in.
Yes.
And the Germans was, for that time, was silly, really. They used the same polarity.
Yeah.
So if it was the north that triggered it to go up,
yeah,
and it went underneath the ship,
because
there are quite a lot of ships in the Thames Estuary,
yes,
you
that's
see.
Right. Yeah.
they got caught.
Right. So you did
November we completed.
Right.
We packed up. But we the first started with the fishing vessels. This is the important part. They brought all the fishing vessels down, and they between each they slung. 5 foot magnet, round magnet.
Yes.
And they slung them between the ships.
Yes.
And they went over the, I think it was called the air sweep or something.
So that must have been the first minesweepers, really.
They were the first minesweepers.
Almost like a Heath Robinson.
And we remember that nobody knew what they were doing, and you suddenly found the compass going round.